Hare Krishna, and a pranams to everyone on the call. So today we will continue to read from the Valmiki Ramayana. I think we've taken a long break, so we are going to continue with Kishkindha Kanda now. And in the last class, I think we stopped with Lord Ram killing Vali. So that is where we stopped. That was a very crucial point. And we saw how Vali asked many questions to Lord Ram, and Lord Ram gave many answers to Vali, and we saw how Vali was convinced. So that at that point, we actually stopped in the previous class. So we'll be continuing from there today. Hare Krishna. So we'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Namavam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanath Swami Niti Namine Namavam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswat Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschaya Dekarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman and Lord Ramachandra. Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madurakshram Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharina Shrinvan Ramakathanatham Konayati Paramgatim Vedavede Parepamse Jati Dashratatmaje Veda Pratepasadase Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjananandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Marutatulyavegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam ಮಾತಾತ್ಮಜಂ ವಾನರಯೂತ ಮುಖ್ಯಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮದೂತಂ ಶಿರಸಾ ನಮಾಮಿ ಆಂಜನೇಯ ಮದಿಪಾಟನಾಲನಂ ಕಾಂಚನಾದ್ರಿ ಕಮನೀಯ ವಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಪಾರಿಜಾತ ತರುಮೂಲವಾಸಿನಂ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಭವಮಾನನಂದನಂ ಯತ್ರ ಯತ್ರ ರಘುನಾಥ ಕೀರ್ತನಂ ತತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಕೃತ ಮಸ್ತಕಾಂಜಲಿಂ ಬಾಷ್ಪವಾರಿ ಪರಿಪೂರ್ಣ ಲೋಚನಂ ಮಾರುತಿಂ ನಮತ ರಾಕ್ಷಸಾಂತಕಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಘವಂ ದಶರಥಾತ್ಮಜಂ ಅಪ್ರಮೇಯಂ ಸೀತಾಪತಿಂ ರಘುಕುಲಾನ್ಮಯ ರತ್ನದೀಪಂ ಆಜಾನುಬಾಹುಂ ಅರವಿಂದ ದಯಾಳದಾಕ್ಷಂ ರಾಮಂ ನಿಶಾಚರ ವಿನಾಶಕಂ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ವೇರ್ ವಾಲಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ ಬೈ ಅನ್ ಆರೋ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ರಾಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಹೀ ಫೆಲ್ ಟು ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್. ಹಿ ಆಸ್ ರಾಮ್ ಸಮ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ಸ್ as to whether it was right on Lord Ram's part to have struck him from behind a tree. And Lord Ram gives answers from Dharma Shastras. And the great Vanara King, Vali, was agonized by the arrow of Lord Ram, heard the reply of Lord Ram, which was well-reasoned, and he didn't have any reply to give back to Lord Ram. And he fell down, and he was a little unconscious. He had not yet given up his body. He was a little unconscious and he was lying there. So at that time, what happened was the news went to Tara. Tara, who was the wife of Vali, the many Vanara chiefs who were around who witnessed this, they went and they reported to Tara. So there's a nice verse in Valmiki Ramayana. It goes like this. Sambharya bhana mokshena rama dattena samyoge hatam plavagha Shardula Tara Sushrava Valinam. Tara, the wife of Vali, heard that the tigerly monkey Vali was being liberated in a fight. So nicely it says, Tam Rama that it says Bhana Mokshena. That is Tambharya Bhana Mokshena. That means Vali was being liberated in a fight by the arrow released by Lord Ram. So basically, when the Lord hit Vali with the arrow, actually Vali was granted liberation. So Valmiki writes that, so when Tara heard this news that actually her husband was fallen there, of course he had not yet given his body, he was lying there unconscious. When she heard this, she was extremely shocked. So she was so angry, she ran out of the Kishkindha kingdom along with Angada, and many monkey generals who came to report what had happened, they all told Tara that, you know what, Tara, you must leave Kishkindha immediately, or immediately now itself you anoint Angada as the king before the Sugriva comes in. Before Rama, Lakshmana and Sugriva, they all come inside and they start attacking you. What you must do is either you run away from this place or you immediately anoint Angada and be ready for a fight. So when Tara hears all this advice from all the monkey chiefs who came to report to her, she just ignored all their advices and she said, no, stop, I'm going to go and see Vali right now. So immediately Tara and Angada, they run to the place where Vali was fallen down. So at this point, Vali, who had not yet given up his body, on seeing his wife and his son Angada, he was totally filled with grief. And Tara wept bitterly and she held Sugriva and Rama responsible for the untimely death of Vali. So like this, when she was lamenting, Hanuman, he tried to console Tara. He told Tara that, listen, Angada and you will not be looked down upon. You will be the queen of this Kishkindha kingdom. Even after the departure of Vali, though Sugriva will be around, still you will remain the undisputed queen of this entire Kishkindha kingdom. And in fact, we saw in the previous class how Vali, actually he gave his miraculous pendant given by his father Indra to Sugriva, and he asked Sugriva to assume the authority of the Kishkindha kingdom. But still Hanuman assured, Lord Ramachandra assured, that Tara will still be the queen. So like this, after seeing all this, Tara was lamenting. Sugriva also felt very guilty and he was also lamenting severely. Then finally, after Vali spoke to Tara saying that, no, everything will be taken care of, you will be taken care of, Angada will be taken care of, after many words of assurance from Vali, Vali breathed his last. And from after the death of Vali, it was pretty much like he was paving the way for Sita's search. So after Vali gave up his body, then Rama, he consoled Sugriva, who was crying there. He consoled Tara, and then he asked both of them to proceed with the funeral ceremony of Vali instead of sitting around the body and wailing. So then Sugriva took charge of the situation, and he arranged for all the funeral of Vali. And after the funeral was complete, Tara looked at Lord Ramachandra, and she said this famous verse. This is actually a verse on glorification of Lord Ramachandra. It says, Tvam aprameya cha durasada cha jitendriya cha uttama dharmata cha akshini kirti cha vichakshana cha kshiti kshamavan shatajopama akshaha. That means you are aprameya. You cannot be understood by the mind and words. O Rama, you are inaccessible. You are indeterminable. You have conquered your senses and you are the best among all the supreme righteous soul. You know what is right and what is wrong, and your glory is never reduced. And you have a very clear sense of discrimination. You give very good answers according to Dharma Shastra. And you are born of a very high class Kshatriya race. You are of the Surya dynasty. Your eyes are blood streaked like that of an emperor. So you have a beautiful physique. You know, you're used to handling bows and arrows, and you have this glorious resplendence that is coming out from your body, and it indicates to me that you're not an ordinary human being. So, oh Lord, I just ask one thing of you. You know, I guess I was lamenting, Bali is no more, everything is over, but still I just have one thing to ask from you. So please, I want to go to the place where my husband has gone. So with that arrow of yours, you please kill me. So like this, after glorifying Lord Ramachandra, she asks for this boon. She says, I want to go to the place where Vali has gone. I don't want to live here anymore. So at that time, Rama consoled Tara and he said, no, I have given a promise to Sugriva that both you and Angada will be taken very good care of. You are going to be the queen of this dynasty. So please, I don't want you to leave your body now. You will continue to be in Kishkindha and you will be ruling Kishkindha. So he gives that assurance and he consoles her, saying that Angada will be taken well care of. So after the scene was over, after all the funeral ceremony and all was over, Hanuman, he proposed, being the minister of Sugriva, he proposed that the coronation of Sugriva should be performed in the presence of Lord Ram, because Lord Ram was there. He said, see, Lord Ramachandra is here. So in his presence, let us coronate Sugriva as the king of Kishkindha. So at that time, Rama said, no, that will not happen because I've come to the forest. I've been sent by my stepmother to the forest and I have told I cannot enter villages or cities during exile. My job is to stay in the forest. So he requests all the chiefs of the monkeys who are present there to perform the coronation ceremony of Sugriva. So Ram says that he would stay back and he also tells, please don't forget to crown Angada as the prince of Kishkindha. So both these ceremonies happen and Ram stays outside while the ceremony happens. And then Ram tells them that, see, Sugriva, now the 4-month period of the rainy season has to start. It is going to start now. And the first month of Shravana is actually going to begin right now. Among the 4 months, the first month of Shravana brings a lot of showers. So this 4 month of rainy season is not appropriate for any search. So we are not going to go in search of Sita now. And you have just been, crowned as the emperor of Kishkindha, king of Kishkindha. So what you do is you go inside, you enjoy your kingdom for some time. And after the 4 months, we will go in search of Sita. And then he says, I am not going to stay inside the city. Along with Lakshmana, I will go and stay in this mountain called as the Prashavana mountain that was there near the Kishkindha kingdom. And he says that mountain is very nice. It has many caves, it has a gentle breeze, there is fresh water, beautiful lotuses are all there in this place. So I'll be very happy here. And after the Kartik month begins, say around October post rainy season, then you please do whatever is best from your side for Ravana's elimination as per our agreement. So he tells this to Sugriva. He asks Sugriva to enter Kishkindha and he goes and stays in this mountain. So this mountain was extremely beautiful. Valmiki, he goes on to explain how beautiful this mountain was, how it was filled with water and blue lotuses and fresh breeze, and it was extremely beautiful. And all this beauty was again and again reminding Lord Ram of Sita. So throughout, you will see, during the separation period till Lord Ram finds Sita, he's always reminded of Sita and he begins to lament to Lakshmana, saying that he misses Sita so much. So again, for many verses together, Lord Ram thinking of Sita, he goes on lamenting. So like this, 4 months pass by, the entire rainy season passed by. And however, Sugriva, what happened was, he started becoming very indifferent to the mission of Lord Ram. What happened was, Sugriva got completely engrossed because he had just become the king, so he was enjoying all sense pleasures. And he was so engrossed in all this, he forgot his promise to Lord Ram. And he was just enjoying in sense pleasures, and he didn't come out after the rainy season was over. So Lakshmana and Rama were talking about this. Why is Sugriva not taking any action? He's not even coming out of his kingdom. What has happened to him? So at that time, Lakshmana, as usual, he got very, very angry. And he says that, I will go and destroy this Sugriva. He's such a cheater. He's forgotten his promise. He's just enjoying in his kingdom. So at that time, Ram calms him down and tells Lakshmana, see, I cannot enter the kingdom. I cannot go into Kishkindha, but you can go. So you go and find out whether Sugriva has any intentions of helping us, or all the ideas of helping us is totally liquefied in a spree of drinking and merrymaking. Because Sugriva was like really into sense pleasures and he was enjoying, he was drinking, he was with women, so he was just enjoying his life there. So Sugriva, after his enthronement and gaining that interval of that rainy season, that 4 months, he was into complete lavish enjoyment, and his indulgence actually becomes overindulgence, and he totally forgot about the promise that he had given to Lord Ram. So at that time, this was happening in one side. In one side, Ram and Lakshman were talking, and Ram was telling Lakshman to go and find out. Meanwhile, inside the kingdom, Hanuman, who is the intelligent minister of Sugriva, he also had this thought, why is the king not at all bothered about what he had promised Lord Ram? So Sugriva, being that intelligent minister, Hanuman being that intelligent minister, he goes to Sugriva and he reminds Sugriva about his duty and his promise that he had given to Lord Ram, to the help rendered by Lord Ram. See, Lord Ram helped Sugriva to eliminate Vali, right? So Hanuman went and spoke to Sugriva, saying that you received a favor from Ram. Now it is the time for you to keep up your promise. You must now go help Lord Ramchandra. So at that time, Sugriva, he had actually forgotten about this. That's what had happened. But then when he listened to Hanuman, he understood his mistake. Actually, he understood his mistake. And he ordered Neela. Neela is one of the commanders of the monkey forces. He called him and he told him, oh, Neela, you go and gather all the monkey troops that are there within 15 days. He just gave this order because Hanuman was telling him, as an intelligent minister, he was telling him, it's time for you to react. Why are you not reacting? So at that time, Sugriva said, okay, I'll give orders. As a king, I can give orders. He just gave orders to Neela and he again went inside and he started enjoying. He didn't come out. So like this, he was enjoying by his, he was dragged by his sense pleasures and he was enjoying his kingdom. Now, at this point, here it is said that Sugriva actually re-entered his palace chambers. This is due to the impulsive nature towards sensual gratifications by a monkey. He should have realized that he should approach Ram and he should report the arrangements that are being made. He gave orders to Neela, but he didn't go and report this to Lord Ram, saying that, okay, we have given orders, things will proceed. He should go and give some information to a person who's waiting. But he didn't do that. And he didn't give orders to Hanuman. See, he needn't have gone. Maybe he's the king. He doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to go in person and tell Lord Ram. But he could have told Hanuman or someone else, you know. He could have even sent a person, a guard, to go and tell Lord Ramchandra. But he didn't send anyone. He didn't send Hanuman also, who's the minister. Hanuman had this intention to actually go tell Ram, but he couldn't go because he was under the order of Sugriva, because Sugriva was his king. Until the king gives orders, Hanuman also cannot go. It was such a tough situation for Hanuman, and Hanuman was thinking, why is Sugriva doing this again? I already told him, he's given order, fine, but he could have at least informed Lord Ram. So because of this communication gap that Sugriva did, because previously also there was a lot of communication gap between Sugriva and Vali, similarly now also there was a communication gap between Sugriva and Lord Ram. And Lord Ram was waiting and waiting. Lakshmana was getting furious on the other side. And though Sugriva had given this order, he never went and he spoke to Ram. So with all this communication gap, it ended up Lakshmana getting extremely angry and he started jumping like a firebrand. So this is the situation that had happened. Now Lakshmana, very angry at this point, he comes to the entrance of Kishkindha kingdom and he calls out to the people there. So Angada goes running. Angada first hears this. And he goes out running, and Lakshmana very angrily, he tells Angada that his father has not taken any action. So Angada, hearing this message, he ran inside, he fell at the feet of Sugriva and Tara, and he tells them that Lakshmana has come very angrily. He has come here and he is waiting at the entrance of the kingdom. So Angada is told to invite Lakshmana inside, and Angada goes and he invites Lakshmana to enter the city of Kishkindha. So Lakshmana goes inside. And Valmiki very beautifully, he describes the beauty of Kishkindha. Maybe Kishkindha is no more like this today. It's a lot of rocks and other things today. But this is how Kishkindha kingdom was when the Vanaras were here. So I'll just give a little description of the beauty of Kishkindha kingdom. So when Lakshmana and Angada were entering the kingdom, all the monkeys there, all the Vanaras there, they stood back with their palms adjoined in supplication, that is, giving respect to Lakshmana. And Kishkindha was so beautiful when Lakshmana was entering. It was full of mansions, multi-storied building, and it was fully embedded with precious stones. They were blossoming trees with many fruits every season. And Lakshmana saw such a beautiful Kishkindha, and all the Vanaras there, they were wearing such beautiful garlands and garments, and they could even change their guise at will, because all these Vanaras, they were children of gods and the demigods and Gandharvas. So the whole Kishkindha kingdom was looking extremely beautiful. And as they entered, there were seven set of courtyards, and towards the end of these seven set of courtyards, the beautiful palace with Sugriva was seen. And Sugriva's palace was decorated with many golden and silver love beds and divans, and beautiful upholstery was provided on all these sitting areas. So again, Lakshmana, he hears, as he was looking at the beauty of Kishkindha, he was also hearing a lot of music that was coming out. Everyone was playing beautiful instruments like Veena, and all the ladies, they were making beautiful garlands, and everything was very laid back and relaxed, and everyone looked so beautiful. No one was worried about time or any pressure. Everyone was very, very happy inside. They were all just enjoying life. So, and not only that, Lakshmana was also hearing, as he was entering the inner palaces, he was hearing the tinkling of the anklets of many female vanaras. So all this environment, which Valmiki is describing, very, very pleasure-giving environment. When Lakshmana was hearing this tinkling of the ankle bells of the ladies, and all this beautiful music and this aroma of flowers and all that, it was actually not very pleasing to Lakshmana. Lakshmana was provoked with bitterness. He was very irritated, actually. All this atmosphere didn't give him any happiness, because he was in no mood to be in pleasing circumstances. He was very duty-bound. He wanted to help his brother. And all this delay caused by Sugriva was irritating him more and more. And these beautiful ladies going around like that, they were looking extremely beautiful. Even the Vanaras were looking very beautiful, actually. That's how Valmiki describes. So hearing all this, he was getting more and more irritated. And he was so angry that no one acknowledged him. Everyone was doing whatever they were doing, and they didn't even care for Lakshmana, who was coming inside. He got so angry, and he twanged his bowstring. You know, he made a sound with that bowstring that he had. You know, twang, like that, he made a sound in anger. So this angry sound was actually a communication of his wrath to Sugriva, saying that Sugriva had not yet even come out to receive him. He was so annoyed. Lakshmana was so annoyed in spite of such beautiful circumstances. So then when Sugriva heard this twanging of Lakshmana's bow, he got scared. Finally, he got scared and he jerked up. He just got up from his throne and he looked at Tara, and he looked very worried, and he told Tara, "Oh, it looks like Lakshmana is very angry and he's already come inside. Now what should we do?" Then he looks at Tara and he begs her. He tells Tara, "You're the only one who's apt to see Lakshmana in person, because I don't know how to appease him. I don't know how to talk sweetly. You're the only one who speaks very sweet and pleasing words, and you know how to, you're very diplomatic in your words. So you're the only person who can go and speak to an angry person like Lakshmana." So like that, he goes and he asks Tara, and Tara agrees to go and see Lakshmana in person. And Sugriva also says that actually great heroes, they don't exhibit their warlike tendencies before ladies who are in the palace. So if you go, there is a good chance that you can talk nicely to Lakshmana and appease him. Then I will go in front of Lakshmana, because I'm very scared. So once Tara was given this instruction, Tara, who was an expert in speaking very beautifully, she was actually a little drunk. She was also enjoying in the palace. So with her dizzy eyes and her womanly gait, she went in front, adjusting her clothes properly, she went and stood in front of Lakshmana. So observing Tara coming towards him, Lakshmana, he just went aside. He stood aside, and without any emotions, because he was in the presence of so many females, he just backed down and he put his face down, because he had to see this woman face to face. He just put his head down in anger, and then he just didn't speak anything. Lakshmana was very angry. He put his head down, his face cast down. He just went aside and he stood in anger, seeing her coming instead of Sugriva. Now at that time, Tara went near Lakshmana and she told him, "Kim kopamoolam manujendra putra? Oh, prince, what is the cause of your anger? Why are you so angry? Who is not abiding by your command? Who is not listening to you?" So like that, when Tara asked, Lakshmana replied saying, without your king, is your Sugriva, without any interest about his kingdom, he's simply whiling away time. He's neither interested about his kingdom, nor is he interested about us who are waiting in anguish. So you and your ministers are simply indulging in cheating, and you are asking me why I am angry. Well, what kind of question is this? So then Tara said, "Lakshmana, you should understand, we are all monkeys. By nature, we are indulging in sense pleasures. But you are a prince. this is not the time for you to be angry. It's not correct for you. Isn't it correct for you to tolerate Sugriva's fault? Because after all, he's a monkey. No? After all, he's a monkey. He's bound to go wrong. So you being a prince, you should tolerate all this. And after all, Sugriva is going to help you. I'm sure Sugriva will help you. He's become your friend. He's surely going to help you. And I understand how Lord Ramachandra is waiting and he's getting impatient. And I understand the friendship between Ram and Sugriva. And I also understand that Sugriva has given a lot. I mean, he's not reacted on time. So he's made a mistake. But whatever is needed to rectify this, he will surely do. And not only that, you know what? On part of Sugriva's endeavor, he's already given orders to all the Vanaras to be gathered at the earliest. He's given them orders. Though he was overindulging, though he was enjoying in the palace, he did his part. He's already given orders. And remember, Lakshmana, by all means, all the Vanaras who are the residents of various mountains and they can change their guise by will, they've all been asked to come in hundreds and thousands and in millions, and very soon all of them are going to appear any time right here. So she gives this words of assurance and she asks Lakshmana to come in, and then she affectionately invites Lakshmana inside the chambers and Lakshman goes inside. Now, Lakshmana enters the interiors and he goes to Sugriva's chamber where Sugriva is sitting on the throne. And Lakshmana chastises Sugriva again with harsh words, saying that you have achieved your means through Ram, but Ram is waiting for you and you are simply not doing anything. Then Lakshman even cautions Sugriva, saying that he is soon going to face the wrath of Ram's arrow. So at that time, again Tara stepped in because Sugriva was really, really afraid. Tara again stepped in and she told Lakshmana to control his anger. She told him, see, I've already told you Sugriva has not forgotten anything. He has given orders. And it's not only that, it's not an easy task, Tara says. I've heard from Bali that the demons in Lanka are about 1 trillion plus 36,000 of units of military is there. One unit consists of 10,000 warriors and hundreds and thousands of demons are there. This is what I've heard. I've heard this once from Bali. So without eliminating all these demons who are guarding Ravana, it is simply not possible for us to even approach or go near Ravana. So there is so much involved in this. It is not an easy thing. It's not like, okay, we decide today and we go and fight with the demons. It is not possible. Do you even know the huge army and the number of demons that are protecting Ravana? First, we have to eliminate all of them. It is impossible for Sugriva to stand alone and kill all these demons without any assistance. So he has already given orders that any minute all these monkeys will come. He has a well-organized groundwork that has been made by Sugriva. And all the mighty monkeys, they will arrive here any minute. Even today itself, all of them will appear. So she gives an account of who all are going to come. She says, today only millions and millions of bears and 100 millions of baboons and innumerable monkeys will arrive, O Lakshmana. Therefore, please calm down. So she gives this statement to Lakshmana, and Lakshmana kind of is convinced by the words of Tara. And Sugriva, after seeing that Lakshmana was calmed down, he gets a sense of relief. And at this time, Sugriva gets off his throne and he runs towards Lakshmana. He falls at Lakshmana's feet and he begs for forgiveness. So he says, Yadi kinchit takritanam vishvasta pranayenava preshasya kshamitavyam me na kaschinna aparadhyati. If I have overstepped either in faith or friendliness, please pardon me, for I am an attendant of yours. I didn't mean to offend you in any way. So like this, he goes and begs Lakshmana and he asks for forgiveness. And then Lakshmana also, seeing that Sugriva has come down and he's begging him for forgiveness, his heart melts, and he also tells Sugriva that maybe I spoke too many bitter words to you instantaneously. So whatever I spoke, you know, please pardon me for that also. Then he takes Sugriva to meet Lord Ram, and he comes out and he's ready to meet. Sugriva goes to meet Lord Ram, and before he goes to meet Lord Ram, he looks at Hanuman and he tells all the Vanaras to come there Lord Ramachandra is waiting. He gives orders to Hanuman to make sure that all the Vanaras who have been collected should come as early as possible to the place where Lord Ram is waiting. So hereafter, in this class, we will see some descriptions of the different kinds of Vanaras, where they live, and also about how Sugriva gives orders to these Vanaras to go in different directions to search for Sita. So at this point, there will be a lot of reading, actually. It will be a little meditative, because these are all interesting things that we can hear about in the Ramayana. Just like how we have, you know, why I want to say all this, maybe this was all not important and we could have skipped this entire portion, but somehow I felt it will be interesting for us to meditate on all this, the different kinds of Vanaras, where they were living, how they gathered. All these was very interesting for me. So I thought maybe it would be nice if we get into these details. And not only that, the way Sugriva gives orders to the Vanaras to search for Sita in different directions. Why I thought maybe we'll go through this in detail is because in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we go through a lot of geography, right? We go through a lot of cosmology and geography and all that. So when we read the Bhagavatam, I mean, anything, even one verse from the Bhagavatam is so pleasurable. So these verses are very similar to the fifth canto that we will be talking about now. So I thought it will be nice, it will be a very meditative thing for us to go through this entire section. So that's why I've written down many points about different places, how they were during the time of Treta Yuga. So we'll just go through that, and so mostly it'll be a lot of reading, but I think it'll be interesting for us to know about the cosmology and the geography and how Sugriva knew so much about about Bharatavarsha and Jambudvipa and everything. So first, what we will do is we'll see the different kinds of Vanaras that were living at that time. We'll first see that, we'll see how all the Vanaras were gathered and how they were ready to execute the orders of Lord Ram. And then we'll see how Sugriva gave specific orders for different Vanaras to go in different directions. Okay, and we'll cover those directions. We'll see the places in those directions. So that will be the next part of the class. So I hope everyone is okay with that. It may be, for some people, it may be a little boring, but just listen to the different places. It's always nice to hear these things. So so then the Vanaras were asked to come. So Sugriva told Hanuman, send word for all the Vanaras available on the summits of these five mountains. So Vanaras were living on different mountains. So these are the mountains that were mentioned: Mount Mahendra, Mount Himalaya, Mount Vindhya, Mount Kailash. Not only that, on the whitish peak of Mount Mandara. From all these mountains, ask all the Vanaras to come. So I want all the Vanaras from the mountains, from these few mountains, but not only these mountains, but also from Udayadri and Ashtadri. Monkeys from Mount Padma should come. Monkeys from Mount Anjana should be summoned immediately. And all the Vanaras who dwell in the cave of the great mountains besides Mount Meru should come. And find all the mountains, ask them to come in quick routes. Gather all the monkeys, and whichever monkeys are there around us, send them on to all corners of earth where all the Vanaras are available, and ask them to come here immediately on my command. So like this, Sugriva gives order to Hanuman. All these major mountains are mentioned, and on all these mountains in those days, all the Vanaras were living. So on hearing the order of Sugriva, Hanuman, who was Vayuputra, he started to dispatch various monkeys in all directions, and 30 million Vanaras, whose swiftness were inconceivable and whose shine were like that of black mascara, came forth from Mountain Anjana, where Raghava was camping. 100 million monkeys from Ashtadri, whose color is similar to refined gold of the dusk, who had a golden hue, they jumped. They had manes like that of a lion. They came in 1,000 crores. Say 100 billion from the pinnacles of Mount Kailash appeared. Okay, 100 billion from Mount Kailash. 1,000 crores came from Ashtadri. And then many monkeys who were subsisting on tubers and roots and fruits, they came in 1,000 crores. Many million Vanaras whose looks and deeds are gruesome and equal to planet Mars in their crimson color, who dwell on the hot beds of Mount Vindhya, swiftly came. All these pack of monkeys reached Kishkindha at that moment. All the monkeys arrived at that place where Sugriva is available along with Lakshmana, taking medicinal herbs, fruits, tubers. Along with them, all the Vanaras came to Sugriva and gave these fruits to him and asked him to accept it as royal gifts. So different kinds of monkeys from different mountains with different colors were summoned, and all of them came. And each one of these sets of monkeys were not in hundreds or thousands, but they were in millions. So you can imagine the number of monkeys that had come from all directions. Then Sugriva, he went and he approached Ram. He prostrated in front of Lord Ram's feet, asking for pardon. And Ram actually forgives Sugriva. And then Sugriva gives the account of the groups of Vanaras that had come from different parts of the earth for the battle with Ravana. So seeing all these number of monkeys, Lord Ram was very pleased. And then he was very pleased by the effort that Sugriva had made. He had put in a lot of effort, and he had summoned so many millions of monkeys. So Lord Ram was very, very happy. His beautiful lotus-like eyes was widened, and he was extremely beautiful. And he was so happy that in a split second, so many Vanaras had come. Now, the Vanara leaders I mentioned, the Vanara leaders were Shatabali, Susheshna, Kesari, Gavashaka, Tara, Dhumra with his entourage of bears, Pashana, Neela, Dharimukha, Mainda, Dvivida. These are all imported names, just keep it in mind. Mainda, Dvivida, Gavaya, Gaja, Jambavanta, Rumana, Gandamandana, Indrajanu, Ramba, Durmukha, Dhadimukha, Nala, Sharaba, Kumuda, Vahini, Ramha. So these are the Vanara leaders, and under each leader, hundreds and thousands of monkeys were there of different colors. So you can imagine all this, how many Vanaras had come. So all the Vanara leaders with their armies, they all appeared in front of Lord Ram, and they all gave their attendance. They lifted their heads up when you're called on roll call, how you show your heads up. So like that, all the Vanaras were giving attendance with their leader in front. So this is how they assembled in front of Lord Ramachandra. So when all these Vanaras came and stood in front of Lord Ram, Sugriva told Ram, now you can give orders to all these monkeys. My duty is I've assembled all these Vanaras. Now Ram, you please give orders. So at that time, Ram embraced Sugriva and told him, see, first of all, Sugriva, all this is very nice. I know you have taken so much effort, and you have summoned millions of monkeys and Vanaras, and everybody has come. So many bears have come. I'm very, very happy. But the thing is, we cannot just immediately give orders and go on a war. First and foremost thing, we must find out if Sita is alive or not. And if she is alive, where Ravana has hid her. First, we should find out this. Only after we find out the dwelling place of Ravana, only after we understand where Vaidehi is being kept, only at that time we can begin to give orders for a war. So now this is not the time. So first we must find out what is happening. Where is Sita? Where is Ravana? For this, only you can give orders. You are the chief of the Vanaras, and I cannot do this. Neither can Lakshmana do this, because you are the master of all the directions, and you know many things. So you first give orders to the Vanaras before going for a war. Let us first give orders to the Vanaras to search for Sita, find out where Ravana is. Then we will give orders for war. So this was discussed, and Sugriva, he immediately accepted what Ram said, and he carefully decided to give specific orders to these different groups of Vanaras. So, Sugriva...
Hare Krishna Mataji, excuse me, please, yes. Ask me. There's a lot of disturbance. I don't know if...
Let me check.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So before Sugriva was told that first you have to find out where Sita is being kept. You have to find out the residence of Ravana, where he is now. So unless we find out this, we are not going to go on a war. Now that everyone is being summoned, Sugriva, you give orders to different sections of Vanaras to go in different directions. to find out where Sita is. So this was the next task that he was supposed to do with all these Vanaras. So the first thing that Sugriva does is he splits this region into different portions like north, east, south, west. So first he calls Vinata. The Vanara called as Vinata. Vinata was as huge as a mountain. It is described in Valmiki Ramayana. And he would thunder like a cloud. He had a voice like a thundering cloud. So he called out to Vinata and he told Vinata, he started describing the eastern section of the geography from the direction of Bharatavarsha. So he started giving directions first to Vinata. So first we'll see the eastern side, then we'll see the southern side. The southern side is the most important because as we all know, that is where Lanka is and that's where Hanuman is going to find Sita. First we will see the eastern direction, then we'll go through the southern direction and we'll stop with that for today's class. Okay? Then the west and the north we'll do later. So first east side. Sugriva begins to speak to Vinata. He tells Vinata, in the east, there are many forests and mountains and impassable places. All these places should be searched to find out Sita and even for the residency of Ravana. So search should be conducted on all the river sides of the beautiful rivers like Bhagirathi, River Sarayu, River Kaushiki, the pleasing surrounds of River Yamuna, on Mount Kalinda as well. All the kingdoms of Brahmamala, Videha, Malwa, Kashi, Kosala, Magadha, Magadha, which is a kingdom that has grand villages on its way, kingdom of Pundra and Anga, the countries of the kings called as Koshakara, in the provinces of silver mines, which is there near this place, in all these places you are supposed to search for Sita. Not only that, after you cover these places, we can understand all these places are, you know, somewhere towards eastern side or of the Bharatavarsha region. Not only that, from there, you have to go to the island of Java. It is identified with the Java Islands today. You have to go there. And this Java island is splendorous with seven kingdoms with gold mines. You should search around all these islands. Once you cross this Java island, there is a mountain called as Sishira. This mountain even touches heaven with its peak and gods and demons come to sport here. Then you search near River Shona, move on to Plakshadweep. Now, for those of you who remember the Goloka chart with all the dweepas from the fifth canto, I can even send diagrams for you. I should have sent it before the class. I'm sorry, but I will send it probably on WhatsApp once the class is done. So Sugriva says, once you finish this region, you should move on to Plakshadweep. There the ocean is inhabited by demons. From Plakshadweep, you move on to Shalmali Dweep. On that Shalmali Island, you will see a beautiful mansion of Vinata's son, namely Garuda. You will see a mansion of Garuda, the eagle carrier of Vishnu. This palace is decorated with numerous jewels. And this mansion is constructed by Vishwakarma. Then you will reach the milk ocean, ocean of milk. In the center of that milk ocean, there is a white mountain of a huge size known as Rishabha. And there are many beautiful trees and flowers of heavenly fragrance. There is also a lake known as Sudarshana. So you have to search in all these places on top of this mountain, on this lake, in different dweepas like Plakshadweepa and Shalmali Dweepa, everywhere. Go and search everywhere. You will find many charanas, yakshas and kinnaras and hosts of apsara females coming to these lakes. So you should search everywhere. And on crossing the Milky Ocean, you will see the soft water ocean, that is the freshwater ocean. It is very frightening to all the beings. On the northern province of that soft water ocean, there is a huge, enormous mountain known as Jatarupa Shila, called as the Golden Rock Mountain. It glitters like gold, and it is spread across 13 yojanas. And there, you will see the broad-eyed, thousand-hooded serpent god in black clothing, namely Ananta. You'll see Lord Ananta sitting there on top of this mountain. You have to go pay your obeisances there, and then you should proceed to Udayagiri. This is called as the Mount Sunrise or Mount Udayagiri. That will be touching the with your peaks the heavens, and it's at the height of 100 yojanas. It is a divine mountain, and it is completely golden. There you will find sages called as Vaikhanasas and Balakilyas. They will come into the view with the ambience or luminosity that is coming out from their bodies, and these ascetics will have the resplendence of the sun. On top of Mount Udayagiri, you have to search in every cave and forest, and you have to see where Ravana is present, and you should also find where he has hid Sita. So like this, you have to go to the entire eastern direction, cover everything, go to all the dvipas, cover the entire region, and come back within a month. And you have to go up till Mount Udayagiri, and nobody else, and you should go there and also come back. Total period allotted to you is only 1 month. No one should stay back there more than a month. I want the entire Vanara army under Vinata to come back within 1 month after reaching that place. So this is the order given in the eastern direction. So actually, though only Plakshadvipa and Shalmali Dvipa are mentioned, and saltwater ocean and milk ocean was mentioned, freshwater ocean was mentioned, but it is understood that Vinata and his troops had to go everywhere, not just like these two dvipas. They had to go everywhere. And some interesting facts on these different dvipas is mentioned here. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll get some interesting details about these different dvipas and the oceans that are mentioned probably in this area, around Jambudvipa. So all this was, this instruction was given to Vinata, and Vinata was asked to proceed in the eastern direction. Next, southern direction. This is the most important, and this is also very important because not only the direction is important, but also the Vanaras who went there are important. You'll find all the interesting names in the set of Vanaras who went in the southern direction. So Sugriva, then he sends a troop of Vanaras southward. Okay, in this troop, the following Vanaras were present: Hanuman, Jambavan, Neela, and others, having Angada as their leader. Sugriva gives a vivid picture of the southern direction of Bharatavarsha up to the southernmost pass of the passable regions, up to the abode of Yamaraj. That is, it's not only Bharatavarsha. They're going to go down, 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 Jambudvipa. They're going to go through all the Patala regions, and they're going to go up to the region of Yamalok. So Sugriva gives all the details of all these regions to find Sita. So Sugriva called for Angada, and he made him the leader. And he told him, under you, all these Vanaras will be serving you. These are the following Vanaras who will be accompanying you: Neela, Jambavan, Sukhrotra, Sharari, Sharagulma, Gaja, Gavaksha, Gavya, Sushena, Vrishabha, Mainda, Dvivida, Sushena, Gandamandana, and Ulkhamukha, the sons of the fire god, and Ananga. So he gives all these Vanara chiefs to Angada, and he tells Angada will be the leader, and all of you will go in the southern direction. So Sugriva gave them a picture of the different regions, which is highly impassable in the southern direction. He says, as you go the southern direction, you will be searching these following places. You will go search the 1,000-peak Vindhya Mountains with numerous trees and climbers. You will go search the entire Narmada River. You have to search River Godavari, River Krishnaveni, Mahanadi, and the auspicious River Varada. This Varada has a lot of great, beautiful snakes. Then you will go to the territory of Mekhala, Utkala, the cities of Darshana kingdoms, Abravanti, Avanti, Vidarbha, and also the charming kingdom of Mahikala. All these regions are to be searched thoroughly. You must go and search the forest of Dandakaranya forest. You must go to the provinces of Andhra, Pundra, Chola, Pandya, Kerala. All these places are to be searched thoroughly. Then you will go to the great mountain called as Mount Malaya, which is covered with iron ores, amazing peaks, and sweet-smelling flowers. You should search this place filled with sandalwood trees. We have seen Mount Malaya filled with sandalwood trees, one in the Bhagavatam. So you must go and search all these mountains thoroughly. There you will also find the abode of Agastya. This is all in the Western Ghats. From there you will reach Mount Agastya, from where River Tamarabarani emerges. There you will go, not only that, you should go search River Kaveri, where a lot of apsaras will be making pleasure trips. You will see the eminent sage Agastya in Mount Malaya, and you will have to pay your obeisances to him. And after he permits you, you should cross River Tamirabharani, which is cherished, which is a highly cherished river for crocodiles. And ongoing from there, you will go to the Pandya Kingdom. You will see a beautiful golden castle door compound wall filled with covered by a huge fortress. You must go and search everywhere in every nook and corner of that kingdom. From there, as you proceed further, you will actually spot the Southern Ocean. That is our Indian Ocean. You will spot that. So in your mind, when you see the Southern Ocean, you should take a firm resolve to cross that ocean depending on your individual capabilities. Once you make that firm resolve in your mind, you must go and climb up on Mount Mahendra. Mount Mahendra will be completely golden and it'll have beautiful peaks and trees. And one side of Mount Mahendra will be steeping into the ocean and the other side will be touching the land. So that is your jumping point for the Vanaras to cross the Southern Ocean. Once you pray to the Southern Ocean, you're supposed to go and climb Mount Mahendra and see how you will be able to cross the Southern Ocean. So depending on your capability, from there, you're supposed to jump off, cross the ocean. And he gives this order. Mount Mahendra is a glorified mountain. It is a place for important demigods, yakshas and apsaras to come and sport there. There'll be many siddhas and charanas. And not only that, the thousand-eyed Indra always visits Mount Mahendra on every auspicious Amavasya day. Actually, we did all these regions when we did the South India Yatra of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during a Chaitanya Charitamrita class. We saw many temples on this area, on Mount Mahendra. We covered Mount Mahendra also. So anyway, he says you have to go climb this mountain. And these are the glories of this mountain. Then he says, on the other side of the ocean, you will actually see a dazzling island on the other side of Mount Mahendra, which is breadth-wise 100 yojanas. And it is very difficult for humans to go there. You have to search that island in every nook and corner. And this island is very, very important. Why he says that is because this is the island of Sri Lanka or Lanka, where the Ravana is living. So on the other side, from there, from Mount Mahendra, when you see, actually after many yojanas, there is a very beautiful island. That island is very, very important. You're supposed to search that in every nook and corner. Sita is especially supposed to be searched there because that is the dwelling place of Ravana. So when he says this, that especially there is an island in the ocean which you have to search very carefully, a question may be arised. There is a controversy regarding the statement of Sugriva. Earlier, Sugriva said that the domain of the demon, this sinning demon, that is when Ravana carried away Sita and when first Ram came and spoke to Sugriva, Sugriva doesn't give details about Lanka. He just says, I don't know where exactly Ravana stays or where he has kept Sita. He says the statement. Now, when he's giving orders to the Vanaras, he's specifically talking about the island which is the abode of Ravana. So at this point, it will be asked whether Sugriva bluffed to Ram, whether he lied to Ram. So the answer given is that Sugriva was an intelligent king. He didn't reveal the complete truth because he wanted Rama's favor. If Sugriva had told Ram at the first instance about the residence place of Ravan, then Ram would directly go to Lanka and eliminate Ravana. And therefore, Sugriva, he couldn't have done any politics. He couldn't have received any political favor from Ram for the elimination of Vali. So it is said that Sugriva was very careful in his words. He didn't reveal everything. So another question can be asked. Initially, why Sugriva didn't get so much details? Now he's giving details about the search and where probably Ravana could be hiding, could have hidden Sita, and which is the residence place of Ravana. All this he's giving. Not only that, why he's saying at this point, why Sugriva is saying at this point is because already Tara, if you see in the beginning of the class, we saw Tara says that she had heard from Vali that Lanka is the place where Ravana is and Lanka has so many demons. She gives this description of demons, right? 100,000 demons are there. It is very difficult to fight with them. So Sugriva thinks this is the time to give more details. So Sugriva gives more details at this point after Tara has already spoken. So there are two things. One is politically, he didn't want to give too much information initially. But now when the search begins,
He says, yes, actually that should be the residence, that is the residence place of Ravana, but I don't know if Ravana is there now. Why? That is another question that is asked. One can ask, why should Sugriva send so many monkeys in all corners of the world? You know, he's going everywhere. Why should so many people go in so many directions? That is not at all needed. Everyone can directly go to Lanka and find Sita and Ravana. So this is the, you know, very practical question that one can ask. Even I had this question. Why go through all this turmoil? But actually, the reason given is because, it is said that no thief hides his booty in his own place. Like a cat changes the places for a kitten, a thief too changes his own place for a stolen thing. So that's why there is no guarantee. So Sugriva also says this, Lord Ram also says that. There is no guarantee that Ravana would still be, he has stolen Sita, right? So there is no guarantee that in your own house you will hide something that you have stolen or someone you have kidnapped. There is no guarantee. So he could have kept her anywhere and he could have been hiding anywhere till he's sure that there is no danger from Ram. There is no guarantee that he's currently living in, though Lanka is his kingdom, there is no guarantee that he's there right now. So these are the reasons why Sugriva dispatches all the Vanaras in all the directions. So, these are some, a little bit diversion about why Sugriva mentions Lanka now. And even here, Sugriva was not able to describe the interiors of Lanka because he's not well acquainted with it. He's just heard. What has he heard? He has heard from Vali and Tara that Lanka is the place of Ravana and it is very, very gorgeous and there are many demons. He doesn't have any details. Sugriva, who has so many details about different directions and about different places up to Lakshadweep and Shalmali Dweep, he's not able to give a clear description of Lanka even now. Even now he says, I'm really not sure what is there, how it looks, what are the mountains there, I have no idea, he says. It's very difficult for humans to go. In those days it was apparently when Lanka was being ruled by Ravana, it was very, very inaccessible. That's what Sugriva says. But he continues to give orders to the Vanara saying that please somehow, one of you, depending on your capabilities, you should be able to cross that ocean and reach that island and somehow find for Sita because it is very, very important. We cannot ignore that place. So this is what Sugriva says. But he again continues, coming back to the continuation of the description of the different places that Sugriva was giving. Sugriva continued to tell the southern direction Vanaras that while you are crossing the ocean trying to reach Lanka, there's a big demon called as Angaraka in the midst of the southern ocean. She grabs her prey by grabbing its shadow while flying. So this is the demon's name is Simhika, whom Hanuman tears apart in the Sundarakanda. Hanuman jumps from Mount Mahindra, he takes flight and he crosses the southern ocean. That time the Simhika tries to catch him by his shadow. So this much details Sugriva gives. There is actually a demoness there. She will catch you, so you be careful, whoever is trying to jump from Mount Mahindra. Then he says, once you search this island called as Lanka thoroughly, and if you are not able to find Sita or Ravana there, you must cross over Lanka, and from there you cross 100 yojanas. A mountain named Pushpitaka is there in that huge ocean, and there are many siddhas and charanas who come there. One of its summit will be golden, and the other will be silvery. So that mountain is unperceivable to the people who are not faithful, to the unkindly ones and the non-believers. So, oh dear Vanaras, you must go and venerate that Mount Pushpatika, bow down your head, pray to the mountain sincerely, and the mountain will be revealed to you. Once you cross this mountain, you have to reach a mountain called as Suryavan after 14 yojanas from Pushpatika. Interesting, he gives so much details. Once you cross Mount Suryavan, you go to Mount Vidyuta. From Vidyuta, you can consume a lot of, it will be filled with fruits and tubers and honey. You can consume all of this. And then you reach a mountain called as Kunjara, which is very, very pleasing, on which Vishwakarma has built a mansion for Agastya. From there, you go to the city called as Bhogavati. Now, this Bhogavati is actually almost identified with Patala. So you see, as he goes south, he just goes down through all the mountains. He crosses Lanka. He crosses the Southern Ocean. And he's being asked, all these Vanaras are being asked to proceed further south through all the Atalavitala and all the Lokas. They reach Bhogavati, which is the city of all the serpents in Patala. There you will see Vasuki. You will also see Vasuki dwelling. You should search all over this place. And there's a glorious mountain named Rishabha. And this mountain looks like a bull. You will find this. You will also find sandalwood trees of different colors. He says red, blue, yellow, green. Four colored sandalwood trees are seen. But these sandalwood trees are guarded by a Gandharva called as Rohita. So don't just go and grab these sandalwood sticks. So be very careful in that area. And then he talks about different Gandharvas who are present there. Some will resemble the moon, some will resemble the sun, some will look like fire in their physique. And then finally, you will reach the dreadful place of Yama. But please don't consider going there. You don't have to go and search in Yamalok. He says that you don't go and search in the hellish planets, the hell, that is the Naraka. You don't go there. You just go up to all these, go up till Patala, search everywhere for Sita, and also see if Ravana has to be seen somewhere. And the person who comes back saying that he has found Sita, Sita is being seen. This is the statement that Hanuman speaks, right, once he finds Sita. The first statement he says is Sita is being seen. So the person who comes and tells me within 1 month, even this troop is given exactly 1 month time to go and come back. The first person who comes and tells me that Sita is seen will enjoy life and luxuries and live with me. On my part, that is equal to me. He'll be the most dear to me, the first person who comes and tells this. And if he has committed any misdeeds in the past, still he will become my confidant. So he'll be the most dear to me. This is how Sugriva finishes the statement of the search in the southern direction. So then he tells all of you should be ready, start off now to achieve Ram's purpose. And he says that he just wishes all of them to do their best on the mission of finding Sita and Ravan. So we'll stop here because this is the southern direction. We'll do west and north in the next class, and we'll further see how Kishkindha Kanda ends after this. So thank you all so much for your patient listening. If anyone else has any questions, comments, additions, corrections, anything you want to add, any realizations you have had, anything you want to add from the Bhagavatam, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mataji.
No, please go.
I just have a quick comment. Thank you so much. You were right, that is very meditative, and it was very entrancing listening to it all. I think it's interesting that when I heard that, you know, when we are little and we hear the story that they had to go to the south and they had to go to the north, we're assuming this just south and north and east west of India or Bharatavarsha, whatever was considered Bharatadesham during that time. And it just amazes me that he was actually going all the way down to Patala, or all the way up to the heavenly planets. Yeah. I mean, everywhere he was sending them. So apparently at that time, these Vanaras that he sent were able to, at least the leaders were able to go that far.
Yeah. It's so nice that they had these special powers and they were guise changing and they had a lot of potencies. Yeah, they were sons of demigods and Gandharvas, and very interesting, very true.
Yeah.
It was accessible. And even I was, you know, thinking of the Mahabharata time also, there were so many places that were accessible to the Pandavas. We don't even think about, I'm not sure if anyone can even access these places anymore, right?
Yeah, so many places.
Yeah. And after Jambudvipa, they went to the other Dvipas also. So it didn't even stop the Jambudvipa, actually.
Right. Also, another question I have, when you were mentioning, like, for example, Java, you said Java, they went to go there. And when you were describing some of the, like the temples or the mountains or whatever that are there, has anybody ever, or have you heard of anybody actually finding evidence of some of those things? Like when he was talking about the mountain of iron and the mountain of you know, whatever that he was describing, you're describing the different mountains. I'm just wondering if those mountains actually were ever in later times known to be reservoirs or mines of ore, of either iron or whatever. In those areas.
Okay.
I'm just curious because...
Yeah, because as far as I know, at least the Mount Malaya, even now sandalwood trees are very famous in that area and the West.
Right.
Yeah.
So that we know. So I just wonder about the other places that are no longer part of Bharat Desham, but are now, like I said, different nations, but they're apparently part of the kingdom of Ram Ayodhya during that time, then, if they're all...
Yeah.
Was all that area considered under the king of Ayodhya? In other words, Java. I'm not meaning the heavenly planets or the Patal planets. I'm saying, like, Java and all those different places. Or do we know?
What they generally say is even during the time of Yudhishthira, he was the emperor of the whole world.
Yeah,
it should be, yeah.
Yeah, and also in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains as specifically which parts of the different areas the sons, the Pandavas, went to in the first part, I believe, in he was talking about the Mahabharata, which Parva, but one of the Parvas he explains where, somebody went, Sahadev went here, and...
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mataji. It was very exciting. I was so... I love storytelling. And what's amazing to me is how many times have we heard the Ramayana? But it's always so ever fresh. I don't think there's any other story that you could hear over and over and over again like this, like the Ramayana or the Mahabharata. We know the story, but it's always so ever fresh. Thank you, Mataji.
Very, very true. Thank you, Mataji. Very true, Mataji. Actually, mostly this portion is generally skipped, but I was very excited because it resembled our fifth canto, so I just wanted to... I thought, though it is reading, it was not so much of understanding or something like that, or a part of Ram's story, so it will be fun to do.
Yeah, but what we understand from the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, just reading, just hearing the stories, whether there is, deep realization or not, every single solitary word has so much potency that you don't know what word will at some point instill some... or ignite some spark within our hearts. So it's all beautiful. Thank you.
Very well said, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, is there still time or should I wait for next time?
Yeah, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yeah, there's a couple questions I had. One, I was kind of surprised about Tara when you were describing the fact that, she wanted to... she wanted to go to the same destination as Vali. In other words, I was just struck by that because she, it seemed like she loved her husband so much that she wanted to even be killed so that she would go to the same destination. So, being struck by that depth of love, I was kind of surprised that she was kind of pacified when she was told that she would take care of her she would be taken care of. She and Angara would be taken care of, and after that she no longer seemed to need to go to Bali's destination.
Yes, that's that is an interesting. She was an interesting character. In many places she is glorified, but in other places also her nature as a monkey is being revealed. She was a very fine speaker and she did many things, but at the same time she had this nature of flickering nature. It's very surprising.
Okay, and one other thing too is two other things. One was, I think you had said that when Lakshmana and I don't know what that noise is. Who was it that had gone? Was it Nila who had gone for Lakshmana when so when they first entered Kishkinda, is it?
No, Angada was. Angada took him inside. Yeah.
Angara took him. That's right. Angara took him inside. And so in the beginning, I think you had described that all the Vanaras had, like, parted ways and were, like, with folded hands. So much respect was given, you know?
And so, Go ahead.
And then that seemed to have been contrasted by the fact that the residents there weren't, they were just absorbed in their sense gratification and weren't paying them any mind. So I was wondering why this, like, dichotomy.
Yeah, so what happened was when Angada was actually very scared, and first he ran inside and he told that Lakshmana has arrived at the entrance, and he fell at the feet of Tara and Sugriva, and he told, and he was given orders to go and bring Lakshmana with awe and reverence, you know, ask him to come inside. So when he went like that, and when the guards saw, like, you know, they saw that Angada himself was going and asking Lakshmana to come, and they saw the angry mood of Lakshmana, they were actually very scared, you know, looking at this whole scene. So they just, you know, folded their palms and they gave way to Lakshmana. First, it was like, till Angada came, they never thought the urgency of Lakshmana, that Lakshmana had to enter. So the minute they saw all this commotion, like with a lot of respect, they just gave way to Lakshmana. But as Lakshmana kept going inside, inside the palace chambers, the ladies and others, they really didn't care for his presence also.
Okay.
They were just engrossed in their own work.
Okay, and just one really quick last point was, you know, I mean, it just occurred to me that, you know, while you were saying how, you know, Sugriva was being so neglectful and Hanuman was in this, like, predicament, you know, that he knew that Sugriva should have gone and informed Ram. But that he had taken all these steps, but he didn't. So when Sugriva had given Hanuman the order to marshal these forces, I felt that that was, that Hanuman had opportunity right then and there to say, oh, you know, and should I, you know, just to try to you know, get the right thing done somehow or other in a diplomatic way. I felt like right then and there, he could have said, oh, and should I also inform Ram? You know?
Yeah, maybe he should have done that, yeah. And
I thought there was such an easy way to cancel that, you know? So I was surprised that, you know, that was not done. So I was just curious about that, you know? I guess maybe for the sake of Leela, it had to happen this way.
Yeah, it just had to happen that way. Yeah, Lakshmana had to come in and all this had to happen.
Yeah, but it just seemed like such an easy fix. So that made me curious, you know, why he didn't say like
very
that.
Very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Both Ramayana and Mahabharata, we've come across such, you know, like instances where things could have been solved very easily.
But it
gets very complicated, right?
Yeah. Well, Mataji, you know I have to have the complete series, so you know my next question has to be, please send. So I can't have any gaps in the series.
That's okay, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, for me, I think that's it. So, Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt. Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Naam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful description in a very melodious voice. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Thank you so much for your association. Kamodaki Mataji, did you want to speak something? I just heard your voice for a second and it got cut off. Kamodaki Mataji? I think she got cut off. Okay. Okay, anyone else has anything to add?
I was just going to add one more thing, Mataji.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it was, you were discussing about Hanuman fixing, you know, it was a quick fix. I was also thinking how appropriately, you know, different situations, the etiquette and how different things should be dealt with is explained very nice in the Ramayana.
Mm-hmm.
When, so, for example, when Sugriva, even in daily family relationships, sometimes everybody's, there's always so much communication gap between who's doing what, when, where, you know, and we don't think, we just think about ourselves and our job or our duty or our schedule, whatever. But we fail to see that you have to tell people in the, you know, family who are involved that, hey, this is what's happening on this day. So, you know, we become so self-absorbed. So I think it was really interesting that really kind of immediately brought to mind when you said that Sugriva should have said, you know, what I'm doing. And I'm like, I can just think in my mind how many situations would have been averted in family relationships if somebody had just said, oh, by the way, this is what I'm doing on this day, or I'm going to be here on this day. So it was just interesting.
Very true, Mataji. We go through that every day, but still we continue to repeat it. Very true.
We need Lakshmana.
Yeah,
we need Lakshmana to come in. Be angry with us, and then we'll be more... more
Very
more
true. Okay. Anyone else wants to add anything?
Thank you so much, Mataji. Wonderful class.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for the wonderful narration.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Okay. We'll end the class. Vancha Kalpataru Vestra Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Anantapati Vaishnavandaki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Valmiki Ramayana ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.